Joining us now over the phone is our boy Jake Hibbard, play-by-play voice of the Green River Wolves. Jake, good morning. How's the new digs for you going in Green River this year?
Oh, it's going great. I'm excited. We got another Friday. I'm actually going to Evanston today for a 3 o'clock game. So getting ready for our little pregame show that we have, our sports talk right now, looking over some stats. It's a typical Friday. I'm doing great.
I'm excited to talk to you, Jake, because, I mean, that you kind of touched on it already. Obviously, your new job is with Green River, but you've also called games for Evanston, a lot of them. You've done a lot of games in the Bridger Valley for those teams as well. So you've kind of got a little bit of a better perspective than a lot of broadcasters when it comes to Southwest Wyoming, a lot of these different teams. And so I guess the first thing I want to talk about is we're a month into the season. It's been that long since we've talked to you. You've had a chance to see some of the teams from the East. Now you're heading into conference play. Where do you kind of see Green River stacking up in the 3A West, and kind of what are some of your opinions on how you think things might shake out with some of these big matchups?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I was pretty guarded last week with my I certainly didn't give out any predictions, but I guess I could say optimism heading in for Green River against Worland, because I just didn't know. I knew what Rudy Sanford could do on the basketball court. This was the first time I'd seen him as a starting quarterback. I'd seen him as a kicker in 2017 when I was there covering game four Evanston. But I knew when you have a great athlete playing quarterback, even if I look at that line and they are small, their numbers are pretty down. A couple of athletes, a receiver like they had at the slot, and a great athlete at quarterback like what they had. I was pretty guarded in what was going to happen. So I think a lot of people expected, looking at the stats, that game to go Green River's way. I know Wyoming football predicted it that way, and then it didn't. And so now coming into this week against Evanston, I still don't know, I guess, is my answer for that. Coming into conference season, it's going to be a scrap fight for Green River to try to get into the playoffs. Obviously, today is what they call a must win, because if you don't get this opening one, you're 0-1. And then you look down the schedule, you've got Cody, you got Powell, Star Valley, and Jackson down the way. If you don't get Evanston, I don't think you're getting into the playoffs, because you're going to need to get at least two opponents. And this is a big chance today that Green River is going to need to have defense show up. And that was an issue for them against Worland. And talking with the coach, he said they were not able to adjust to a spread option offense where they had Sanford in a run pass option and two slot receivers. Their two main receivers run in the slot. And so they, with that run pass option, they were getting the linebackers for Green River off guard by bringing a false pull of the left guard over, so that their linebacker, who was supposed to be assigned to a receiver, was coming off to defend that pull guard, anticipating a run pass option. And then there was a receiver open on a little curl route throughout the entire game. So I think defensive adjustments, certainly that's big. Against Evanston today, I don't know what offense we're going up against. They ran a flex bone, but then there's been some injuries or players not going to be able to play. And then I've heard that they might run more I formation, like what you are used to seeing Evanston run. So in that case, I think it makes it difficult to say, what are we preparing for? Are we preparing for the Air Force offense, or are we preparing for the Evanston offense of old? So I think defense is really what everything hinges on today, and consequentially, the rest of the season.
Jake, I totally agree with you about what you said about whoever wins this game between Evanston and Green River is going to have a better shot at that play. Whoever loses this game, it's going to be a tough road in order to get themselves in that playoff hunt. And from a Green River standpoint, they've got a new coach this year. And do you feel as if Green River, are they learning any new schemes under the new head coach? Are they trying to keep things kind of the same? Is there some growing pains for the Wolves heading into the season, I guess, is the question.
To a degree, I mean, there's been some slight changes. I mean, first of all, they're not running a two quarterback system. So I would say that's a positive. Jacob Foos is the quarterback, and he'll be coming out there every single time. So I think that's an improvement right off the bat. You know who your quarterback is. They got James King back, who was out basically his whole junior year, and he was a 400-500 yard rusher as a sophomore. He's really the key cog in this offense, rushing wise. Is if that offensive line can get space open for him and get some early downs. I think the biggest difference you may see is the passing game's a little bit different. They are willing to try to take some shots downfield. Of course, they've had to sometimes in games down late, but they're willing to throw the ball. I think what some people are maybe looking for is maybe a more variated play call where you can't necessarily see the passes coming when the run is taken out. I think we saw a little bit more varied against Warland, and they got 22 points, 14 with the varsity, and that was the biggest output they'd been able to put out all season. But it's a little different. It's still mostly I formation, a lot of three-step drop stuff. So I think that makes a window for a quarterback like Foose pretty narrow, and that's why he's completed 39% of his passes this year, in part because the offensive line has been switching in and out throughout the season. They have yet to have a full week with every offensive lineman starting in the same position for a week of practice. So when you mix that with quick three-step drops, I think that's maybe some things that they're going through. If you want to talk about growing pains, I'd say maybe just the personnel and who's able to be out on a week-to-week basis.
Jake, I kind of wanted to talk to you and get your opinion on the 2A West. Now, I know you don't, you're not actively doing those games, but you're obviously right in the middle of things, and you've done those games, and I'm sure you still have an interest. Yeah, I look at three of the top five teams are out of the 2A West, including Mountain View, Lyman, Big Piney. You also got Thermopolis kind of lurking out there. And then you have a team like Cokeville that, quite frankly, I expect them to win more than they lose. And then a team like Lovell that could be a very good team. I mean, and now I've basically named off the entire conference. And so I guess I just kind of want to get your impressions on what you've noticed so far and maybe some of your thoughts moving forward.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Al, because I actually have been following. In fact, I had a Friday night game in Warland, but then Saturday afternoon I was at Lyman to watch the Lyman-Lovell game. Just as a fan, I wanted to get out and see those teams match up. And I would say that the 2A West right now is not what I thought it was, I guess. I don't know that it is. I don't know that it has the strongest team in the conference, that being, or in the 2A. That being said, Lovell, they were a number one team, and then I think they were number three last week, and now they're out of the rankings. And so that 12-7 victory for Lyman last week, from what I saw, I'm not taking too terribly much out of that. I didn't necessarily see that as Lyman beating the number three team in 2A. I saw that as Lyman beating an improved Lovell team that got a perceived big win week one over Bighorn, and they jumped to number one. But where's Bighorn in the standings? They're not there because they're not the team that necessarily was projected to be coming out of the gates. I think Wyoming football had them as the projected state champion. And watching the last few years, I don't know why any of us wouldn't have had that, but they haven't been as strong. So the rankings are still going to have a lot of shifting. They're kind of settling down in 3A and 4A and 6-man. They're settling down a bit. I think there's a lot of shifting left to be done in 2A. Now, Lyman, Big Piney, it's the second straight week we have a 3-5. And Big Piney, they are 3-0. They beat a JV team. Then they got some headlines for beating Thermopolis. Again, I was talking to some people in Warland who played Thermopolis in a 0-week game or a scrimmage. Thermopolis may not be the same team we thought it was from a year ago, being a semifinal team. They're a little smaller this year. And so Big Piney versus Lyman, I think both of those teams have signature wins over teams that maybe aren't as good as we thought they would be. So we still have a lot of shuffling to do. I think Lyman's improved. I'm not convinced they're not the best team in the Valley this year. Their offense is certainly not as diverse. They're pretty much run a shotgun, run pass, not even pass option, run to the quarterback or run to the running back option and maybe a double handoff. They'll pass maybe 8 times a game if you're doing really well. But they've got good runners in Preston Brewer at running back and Smith at quarterback. And they've got a good receiver in McCoy Smith, the younger brother of the quarterback, as a sophomore when they do look to go deep. He's only about 5'7", but he's a good deep ball receiver, really fast out there. So I'm excited to see the difference in that game today. I'm giving the edge to Lyman preliminarily from what I've seen. Cokeville, you mentioned them. I think they get a win today against Pinedale, and they start off 0-2 against two of the best teams in the West. It's going to be a dogfight. Only 4 teams out of the 8 get in, but I think Cokeville may be tickling on the edge of getting in at that 4 spot. Mountain View not playing until tomorrow. I don't think they'll have any trouble against Kemmer. Really curious with what happened in that week 1 game against Evanston. Only have been able to see a little bit of it, but I never count out a Mountain View team for a week 1 loss, because you guys may remember 2 out of the last 3 times Mountain View's made it to a state championship game, they've lost week 1. week one losses usually aren't that big a deal for Mountain View. I'm not convinced Upton Sundance isn't the best team in the state, though. I'll take a lot out of what happens today at the 7 o'clock game against number 4 Torrington.
Jake Kippert joining us this morning on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. Jake, you mentioned that the rankings starting to settle down in some of the other conferences in 3A, and Dal and I are going up to, of course, Jackson today for the Star Valley at Jackson game, and then you have Cody and Powell tonight as well. So those top four teams all playing each other over the next couple of weeks. So my final question for you is, how do you see things playing out over the next 2 weeks in the 3A West specifically?
Oh, I can't ask you guys. You guys have too much of a – I can't ask the broadcaster of Star Valley the question I want to ask, which is Powell the best team in 3A? I want to ask you guys that, but I won't. I guess we'll find out a lot tonight. Powell looks really, really, really good. Cody looks good, too, and I'm not convinced they're not the best team in the state in 3A. Just they're not necessarily the biggest, but they hit so hard. And then Jackson and Star Valley, I'm like you guys, I'm sure. I don't take too much stock into an early season loss, just like I don't take it too much into account for Mountain View. I don't take it too much into account for Star Valley because I know they schedule tough out-of-state competition. And with the turnover that you had, losing 26 seniors, there's going to be a learning curve that you guys alluded to maybe with Green River earlier. There's certainly been that with Star Valley. With Jackson tonight, though, man, the rushing yards put up. I know that it was Riverton, and Riverton's maybe not a banner team right now as they try to get it going, but 350 yards by Hasenbeck, you guys have the pronunciations on that, and Sadler Smith thrown it as well. I can't remember the last time we saw a team this far out in front in running and passing with the way Jackson is. Star Valley's going to be up against it tonight, and then they've got that Dawson kid on the defensive side. I'm really curious. Brant Nelson, good quarterback for Star Valley. It looks like you guys are doing a lot more by committee rushing because you're in the middle of the pack for rushing, don't have anyone in the top 10. What do I think is going to happen? I'm leaning towards the home team in the first matchup that I'm looking at in Powell and Cody. I'm still believing in Powell. I'm thinking they're maybe at the top, and this is dangerous territory for you guys. I'm considering it dangerous territory for me as well, but what happens with Star Valley and Jackson? Ooh, I don't know.
You can say what you want.
I do mean I don't know, because I want to say Jackson because of the offense, but Star Valley's such an unknown, and they have such a track record. I don't know, guys. How has the Star Valley defense looked against the best offenses you've seen as well? Can they stop that run and the pass? I guess that would be my question to you guys.
Well, Star Valley hasn't been.
Where's this defense at?
The three losses for the Braves have not been blowouts. We'll say that. And how many losses? Those first three games with the out of state opponents last week, those three schools had one combined loss between the three of them.
Yeah, now it's two. They have a combined record of 11 and two.
So, I'm with you, Jake. There's a lot of unknowns, but I do think the Braves are a lot better than what people are giving them credit for. So tonight's kind of the payout night. We'll see what happens.
Well, I agree, and I think Jackson, after that big win over Riverton, is a little bit overblown on the stats because it's the last preseason game of the year. Riverton has been down the last couple of years, so I don't know. I'll flip a coin right now in my imagination, and I'll say, what the heck? I'll say Star Valley pulls off the
Smart move. Smart move talking to the Star Valley announcers. Good job, especially in a rivalry game.
Now, before we let Jake go, I just want to mention quickly, I have Powell. I had Powell ranked number one in my poll, and I have so far for this year. I have no problem putting other teams first because I also feel like, mentioned this before, my voting changes a lot from week to week. It's not just the same one every week. Like, I think some people just kind of throw out the same one every week.
Well, two votes for Star Valley to be won this week, and neither were Dal and I. So.
Yeah, so maybe people that, well, it's Duke and Dal. No, it's not either one of us.
We're not just homers, okay?
I didn't have that either, so that was someone else. Real quick before I go, guys, the volleyball matchup happening early this week. You were at that Dal. That makes the Southwest Conference very interesting with Star Valley losing to Evanston. My prediction is Star Valley comes back and beats Evanston on the home court, and then we don't know what happens in regionals. But that was a great contest happening. And I say great because it was five sets, but, oh, man, both of those teams look like they could have used a few more summer workouts. Both teams trying to, as I think a lot of athletes are, get back into the swing of things. We had a lot of errors in that game.
Well, and I really think that one came down to a lack of errors by Evanston in the last two sets, especially service-wise. Yeah. I don't know that they touched the net with the serve over the last two sets. So I think that was a big part of that. And so, they deserve a lot of credit to come into Afton and rally and pull that one out.
Jake, absolutely. I think it switches around, though, next time around.
Jake, appreciate your time as always. Good luck on the call in Evanston tonight.